By a show of hands, who of us can remember getting really excited for Christmas as a little kid? What's there to be excited about, right? The kids, they see that they don't have school. They're going to get gifts and presents. They can play, right? They're having time with their family. Most likely they're going to have treats and desserts. It's an exciting time for kids. Now, how many adults get that excited for Christmas? Just by a show of hands. Maybe a few of you, right? I think sometimes we greet Christmas with almost like a yawn, or I can't wait until this is over. But the church today is exhorting us to rejoice. This is Gaudete Sunday, which means in Latin, rejoice, he's coming. Right? There's this joy, this anticipation that we're to have at the coming of Christ at Christmas. And the joy that the church is exhorting us to, by the way, is not some sort of superficial, temporary contentment that the world calls happiness, right? That feeling that we get when we get everything that we want, right? Nor is it talking about a kind of an emotional giddiness, kind of like what Father Miguel gets like when he sees fireworks. This is a deep and abiding joy that results from living in the presence of God who is loving us and providing for us. And so before I talk about how we can pursue joy this Christmas, I want to just simply take a step back and talk about what is it that we believe Christian joy is. First thing is that Christian joy is a gift. It's not something we can produce. It's not something we can achieve by our own efforts. It's a gift from God. And Paul talks about this as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, he's contrasting the works of the flesh, living in the flesh, and living in the Spirit. He talks about if you do these things, the works of the flesh, and he names all sorts of things. He says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in contrast to that, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, right? Self-control. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit that bubble up and are given to us by virtue of being rooted in Christ. To put it another way, like an apple is the fruit of an apple tree rooted in good soil, these fruits are present in our life when we're rooted in Christ. That is, when we are loving him, believing in him, and hoping in him, these fruit are evident. Now, of course, we can grow in our maturity in Christ. We can grow through various purifications and through various trials and even some inner healing, and this fruit can be kind of more common in our life. But the fact is that if we are believing in Jesus, we're hoping in him, and we're loving him, these fruit are immediately evident in our life. And there's really no shortcut around it. There's no trick. There's no kind of like way of getting this without being rooted in Christ. So we know that's kind of the source of Christian joy. At the same time in Scripture, that we see that joy is the soul's response to the presence and saving action of God. That when God is present to a soul, when he's present to someone, and when God is intervening in their life through the saving action of his love, joy is the response of the soul. And we see this all throughout Scripture. In fact, today's psalm response is echoing and is actually quoting Mary's Magnificat, in which she says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant." Right, Mary is rejoicing because God looked upon her lowliness, her littleness, her poverty, and he did something great in her and great for her. He produced the Son of God within her. And so her response is to rejoice in God, is to give God praise, to give him the glory, right? It is in this vein I want to challenge us to pursue joy this Christmas. And I'm going to offer a very simple challenge. This Christmas, focus on God's personal love for you, not your circumstances. Focus on God's personal love for you, not your circumstances. Because it's very easy for us to get overwhelmed by our circumstances. Think about what's going on in your life right now. Think about all the things that you perhaps have to do. Some of you are so busy. You have so many things you have to do before Christmas. Others of you, you realize you don't have the same resources that you had before. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you don't have enough money to buy what you want for your kids or grandkids. Or maybe you're aware of the brokenness that's actually in a relationship of yours. Maybe it's a close friend or a family member. Maybe you find that there are things that other people have that you don't have. Or maybe you're just simply overwhelmed by your own weakness and your inadequacy, and you can't get over a particular failure. Regardless, if we focus on those things, it can be very difficult to have joy. In fact, that can rob us of joy. But God's love does not depend on our circumstances. Amen? God's love for us is so good that he loves us in our circumstances. He gives us his life in the midst of it so that we can rejoice no matter what is happening in our life. I remember when I was a young priest, I think it was my second year as a priest, I was preaching a homily for the 4 p.m. Saturday Christmas Eve Mass, which we know is the Mass that is pretty much crazy. People are like, you know, competing for seats, and there's a lot of people here. Well, I used to bring up kids for the homily. I used to bring up like the little kids from kindergarten through like second grade up on the altar, and I would face them asking them questions. And I always liked doing that because they give the funniest answers. And so I was asking these the kids this question. I said, why would Jesus come in a manger? Why would God send Jesus, his son, in a manger for us? And this little kid raised his hand. I think it was a little boy. He said, because of the comfy straw? Not quite. But that's a really good question for us to ask. Why do we celebrate this in the first place? Why does God come? Why did he come in the manger? And I think sometimes we're tempted to kind of think theological questions. Well, God sent his son Jesus because he saw the suffering of the human race. He saw that we were enslaved to death and he wanted to do something about it. Or God came to overcome the evil of the world. All of those are true. But I think what I want to encourage us to do is to think about this in a personal sense. Why did he come? He came for me. He came for you. He came to be one with me, to give me hope, to save me. Because if we can recognize that this mystery has a very personal dimension, it actually changes the way that we see our circumstances. In fact, this becomes the source of my hope and my joy, that no matter what's going on in my life, God loves me now. No matter what has happened in my past, God loves me. He's merciful. And no matter what kind of challenges I have to face in my future, he will be there for me. This is the kind of faith that gives us joy. And it's really important. In Christmas, we talk about Jesus as being Emmanuel, God with us, right? And it's important for us to remember God is with us. And maybe perhaps you've remembered in the past, some priests or deacons will give homilies about, you know, making sure that there's room for Jesus. We talk about the inn often. And there's that reading for Christmas where Mary and Joseph were trying to get an inn in Bethlehem, but there was no room for them at the inn, so they had to have Jesus outside. And so the import of that homily might be, do you have room for Jesus in your own life? Do you make room for him? Now, that's a powerful point, but I think there's something even more fundamental going on in that passage and more fundamental about our own lives is that God actually wants to be with us. He wants to come in and make himself and make a home for himself in our hearts, in our lives. He wants to dwell with us. And if we can remember that, it changes everything. For example, if you look at a nativity set, I want to challenge you to, when you see that little baby Jesus, to simply say, he wants to be with me. Jesus came because he desires me. He desires to make a home with me. He desires to be one with me. Because once we do that, once we live in that reality, I don't know about you, but all of my circumstances are put into perspective. All of my circumstances are seen for what they are. Because the one who's conquered death, the one who created me, wants to be with me. And if I know that, I'm no longer afraid of anything. And I can begin to rejoice in a way that is very powerful for the people around me. I know that some of you probably already had your Christmas parties with your families, but maybe some of us haven't. But regardless, this Christmas, most likely you're going to see a lot of friends and family they don't see very often. And some of them don't know the love of God. They don't know what it's like to be known and desired and loved by God like we do. And I hope and I pray that we as Christians can choose to actually focus on the personal love that God has for us so that our loved ones will see not a superficial joy in our life, not a kind of a clap happy fake smiling, but they see a profound deep joy of knowing the personal love of God. Because if they can see that in us, then that might just be the thing that they need to take one step closer to either believing again or maybe for the first time that Jesus, the little child, didn't just come for us, but he came for them as well.